We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. It is August 19th. It is Monday. I hope you are having a great start to your week. I know that I am with my hazelnut coffee over here and actually kind of laughing a little bit at this news that just broke about an hour ago from the GOP House Oversight Committee. Joe Biden has committed impeachable offenses. Well, we knew that. But today, they say, we are releasing a report on the impeachment inquiry of President Joe Biden, finding he committed impeachable offenses. And so they say Americans now know, as if we didn't before, but okay, now know that Joe Biden was the brand the Biden sold around the world to enrich the Biden family, and Joe Biden knew of, benefited from, and participated in his family's influence peddling schemes. Our report details evidence to establish President Biden abused his office and violated his oaths of office as vice president by engaging in a conspiracy to peddle influence to enrich his family. So you can read the full report at oversight.house.gov. And you can also, if you are following the GOP Oversight Committee on X, of course, that is posted. But I just have to laugh because this is like 3 years too late. And what are they going to do about it now? I mean, we're here August 19th, heading into a presidential election year. There's not even really time. I mean, yeah, you know, it's sort of to go about an impeachment, but this would be, in my view, political suicide for the GOP if they actually tried to do this to a now lame duck Joe Biden. It would just give Kamala Harris the boost that she needs heading into the DNC this week. So you know, setting all of that aside, and how, you know, the GOP is just, the political will is not there. They should have pushed out this report at least a year ago. I mean, as soon as the GOP took over the majority in Congress under then Speaker, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, that should have been the first thing that they prioritized. They could have gotten this out in, you know, 2 or 3 months if they really, really wanted to, but no. So that aside, we are now at the first day tonight of the DNC convention in Chicago, and this is kind of really wild, actually. If you look at some of the videos that are being posted on X and also aired on at least some news channels of all of the police that are surrounding the DNC, because there are a lot of protesters who are, of course, the pro-terror, pro-Palestine protesters, basically demanding that the Democrats refuse to continue to fund Israel. And so this is going to be very interesting to see whether or not Kamala Harris actually addresses this issue at all, if she says anything about the protests in her speech on Thursday night. And traditionally, like what we saw at the Republican convention, traditionally that is when the nominee formally accepts the nomination after the delegates have voted. But back on, I think it was around August 8th or 9th, there was a voice roll call over the phone that the Democrats did, probably so that there would not be any sort of tension on the DNC floor. There's no debate. They just propped up Kamala Harris as their chosen nominee and staged that coup against Biden, who actually got the majority votes and actually got all of the delegates. But of course, he stepped down. They put in Kamala Harris. They didn't want any dissent. So they did that before the primetime DNC. So what are we going to see from the DNC? Well, tonight, according to the schedule, Hillary Clinton will be speaking, also Joe Biden and Jill Biden. So that's going to be a very interesting opening. But the thing that is even more revolting than hearing from the three individuals that I just mentioned is that Planned Parenthood is offering free vasectomies and medication abortions in Chicago outside of the DNC. I mean, this is just disgusting and despicable. And if you ever thought that safe, legal, and rare, like, remember when Bill Clinton actually said that was the message of why abortion, why they were advancing the so-called constitutional or legal right to abortion is that they wanted to have abortion available just for the women who absolutely needed it. We want to make it safe, legal, and rare. That was the Democrats' mantra for a really long time. But now, of course, they are transparently showing their agenda, which is to shout your abortion, say that abortion is something that you're actually proud of, and that if you aren't a woman who has ever had the opportunity to experience an abortion, well, you know, potentially you should. I mean, it's disgusting. It's pagan. It is akin to the child sacrifice that was prevalent in the Roman Empire that marked a terrible nation and empire and world power in decline before ultimately the Roman Empire fell. And I think there are a lot of parallels currently between the Roman Empire and America with all of the LGBTQ queer theory that is going on, the propagation of pedophilia that is running rampant, and of course with child sacrifice, because that's genuinely what it is. And Planned Parenthood has said in all of their advertisements that are now prolific across social media that all of their appointments for vasectomies, which this is just insane that people are going and getting a vasectomy out of a van. I mean, it's horrific. It's mutilation and shouldn't happen in a van. But then all of their appointments for vasectomies are already taken, and you can get on a waiting list. And all of the medication abortions, you're still welcome to come. And so imagine, you know, going to the DNC and this is, you know, part of the gift bag or the swag bag that you get is the Planned Parenthood van. I mean, this is how the worldview difference between the pagan influenced and I believe demonically influenced Democrat Party versus the conservatives who are wanting to conserve a right to life and the fundamental right that you can't exercise any other rights before you have first and foremost a right to life. And one of the things that I always point out when talking about abortion as a whole, as a topic, is saying, you know, we can, of course, argue this from a faith-based standpoint, saying that all human beings are made in the image of God, have inherent dignity and worth from the moment of conception all the way until natural death. We can argue that from the science as well, because science supports that conclusion and that policy position that life must be protected. But we can also argue this from a legal and constitutional basis, because abortion, so-called health care, the so-called privacy right, is not included anywhere in the Constitution. That's what Dobbs ultimately held, that abortion regulation is left up to the people and our elected representatives. But also from a standpoint of where our law was originally founded. I mean, we have influence from Blackstone and, you know, so many other Christian lawgivers, and ultimately from the great lawgiver himself, the God of the Bible, and through Moses and the Ten Commandments, which is thou shalt not murder, is the correct translation. It's not thou shalt not kill, because, of course, some killings in self-defense and so forth can be justified under the law. But murder, by definition, is an unjustified, immoral killing and the taking of a life, which is the definition of abortion. And in the United States, our property rights, which is something that Thomas Jefferson, one of our founders, was so interested in, coming from common law England, where there was there were not as many property rights to have as free alienability of property. There was something called a fee tail and, you know, heirs apparent and that kind of thing, where you had to convey property according to bloodline. And for property law in the United States, he was a staunch advocate for free alienability of property, that you can alienate property, you can buy and sell as the property owner, because true ownership means that you need to be able to sell and to alienate yourself from that real property at your leisure as a property owner. And our American property law currently, even as it stands now today in 2024, still shows that if you have a will, so for example, my parents, who have three living children, my brothers and myself, we are only heirs apparent, because the law still contemplates that my parents could, in their 60s, still have another child of their marriage, either by birth or by adoption. And adoption, of course, being a reflection of the wonderful adoption that we have in Christ, that you get complete and full rights and the same access as a child of birth. And so this whole idea that we are only currently heirs apparent recognizes that even a yet unconceived child has property rights in the United States. And if a yet unconceived child has property rights and that vest at the moment of conception, then how much more does the unborn child have a right to life? And we need to still continue to argue this, especially here in the state of Florida, in the state of Missouri, and in other states where the Democrats are continuing to push state-funded abortion on demand. And I really think that we as a pro-life coalition were really not prepared to make the argument on the merits on the state level. And one of the people that is prepared and is making the arguments is Governor DeSantis. I was at an event in Tampa on Thursday night, where he held a town hall and was talking about opposition to Amendment 4, which is coming up on the November ballot for the state of Florida. And if you want to find out more, and if you know anyone who is a voter in Florida, please send them to this website, VoteNoOnForFlorida.com. And it's the number 4, so not F-O-U-R, it's the number 4. So VoteNoOnForFlorida.com. VoteNoOnForFlorida.com. And there is a 2-minute video that my church will be playing, and I would encourage every church in the state of Florida to play, to get engaged and talk about why this is so dangerous. What it would essentially do is undermine the heartbeat bill that is in place that protects children from the moment a heartbeat is detectable, around 5 or 6 weeks. And it would basically allow zero protections for any unborn children, allow abortion up until the moment of birth, because so many terms like viability or healthcare provider or patient's health are not defined in this amendment. And Governor DeSantis talked about, if this becomes part of the Florida Constitution, then the legislature couldn't even go back in and define those terms properly and more narrowly as they should be defined, because a court would likely say, well, if the voters wanted to define this more narrowly, then they would have before passing this amendment. And so it really is a bait and switch, because this is Democrat funded. It's Soros funded. They're telling voters that this just brings things back to how they were under Roe versus Wade. But that's actually not true. Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the Roe's progeny, still allowed protections and said that there was a governmental interest for at least the third trimester or after the point of quote unquote viability. But there's no such definition in this amendment of what viability means or what healthcare provider means. So Governor DeSantis said, you know, here in the state of Florida, your massage therapist, your chiropractor is a so-called healthcare provider in terms of the standards. And so if they say for any reason that, oh yes, this impacts a woman's health, that can be emotional health, that can be mental health. I mean, it doesn't have to be health in the physician healthcare standards. It's actually physical of your body. It can really just be for absolutely any reason. They can sign off and say, you know, yes, an abortion even in this late stage is permissible. And this is going to lead to state-funded abortions for taxpayers. And so all of this just goes to show how Democrats are putting abortion as their agenda. It's their number one issue, not only with Planned Parenthood at the DNC, but with these types of Democrat and Soros-funded amendments. And if this passes in the state of Florida, I'm optimistic like DeSantis because we have a 60% threshold for a constitutional amendment. So hopefully this fails. But if it passes in such a deeply now red state like Florida, this has the potential of passing anywhere. So again, go to VoteNoOnForFlorida.com. I also wrote a piece in American Family News. You can find that on my X or at American Family News website, talking more about this, showing a few clips of Governor DeSantis that I took there. But we'll be right back to talk more about the DNC when we get right back.
Danny, the baby just rolled over for the first time. Oh, what a strong little boy.
That a boy, son. You're on your way.
Oh, aww, who's my strong little man?
Rollovers can be milestones in life, some early on and some later. One rollover you might consider is from your individual retirement account to a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. If you'd like to increase your retirement income and leave an impactful gift to the work of American Family Association, the charitable gift annuity is a worthwhile option. To learn more, contact the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net. If you own an IRA, would like to increase your charitable giving, but need retirement income, the IRA to CGA rollover may be for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and we are talking about how the leftists, the pagans that are demonically influenced on the left, are pushing for abortion in so many ways, even having this Planned Parenthood van outside of the DNC in Chicago. And it's just disgusting that they are offering free vasectomies and free medical abortions to DNC goers. And nobody's talking about the fact that this is Chicago. It's predominantly a black community, and how, you know, Planned Parenthood originally was founded by Margaret Sanger, who openly talked about eugenics and wanting to basically eradicate black people. But no, let's go and vote for Kamala Harris just because, you know, she's a black woman, and somehow that makes all of this okay. I mean, no, it's just, it's so disgusting. But we talked also about Amendment 4 here in Florida. It's Amendment 3, by the way, in Missouri. And know what is on your ballot in your state, and don't look at the summary language. That can often be very misleading. Governor DeSantis talked about the summary language going all the way up to the Florida Supreme Court. And by a vote of only 4-3, the Florida Supreme Court said that the summary language was not misleading, but all three of the dissents were DeSantis appointees. He thinks it is very misleading to even pro-life voters, and hopefully people will not be misled. They will vote no on four. But this is what he said, and in this clip, and I was there and I took this clip, so my apologies, the audio is a little bit not as crisp, but this was, you know, from the town hall when he was asked about the viability language and how deceptive it is. This is cut two.
Well, we don't know, right? I mean, I think that part of the reason they did that is because there are pro-life voters who read that and think that that just means if the pregnancy itself is viable. In other words, there's not any of these issues where there's exceptions and all this. And so a lot of people thought that meant like the heartbeat bill is fine, right? No. I think it's gonna be very late. Clearly, it will say you can't provide protections to a point where there will be unborn that are inflicted massive pain when being aborted. Like, that will be constitutionally protected. Constitutionally mandated in the state of Florida to have those pain-capable abortions take place routinely for no reason whatsoever. And that's not, I think, how most people understand that language. But the fact, why didn't they define it for you? What are they trying to hide? Why not just define all these terms? They won't do that. But understand, whatever people think in terms of viability, that is meant to be viewed in the most pro-abortion way possible.
Let's welcome in our special guest this morning, Ryan Helfenbein, who is the Vice President for Communications at Liberty University and also the Executive Director of the Standing for Freedom Center. And Ryan, I want to get to our main topic today, which is also how these pagans and these demonically influenced Democrats are now pretending to have some evangelical coalition base, and they've launched Evangelicals for Harris. And I want to get to that in just a moment. But first, your thoughts and comments on all of these now pro-abortion amendments that are cropping up across the country in the wake of Dobbs that are essentially trying to constitutionally codify state-funded abortion on demand.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those things where we have been largely caught off guard after the Dobbs decision. I say we in the pro-life movement. I'm not saying that everyone in the pro-life movement was caught off guard, but many have been, that once it went back to a state's issue, the Democratic apparatus went into overdrive on messaging, and then all of a sudden had hijacked some of our own terms and went in and tried to make language sound like this is about reproductive health or reproductive freedom or medical freedom or any number of those things. And oh my goodness, they're scaremongering. So that this is the way that they do this. You know, pro-lifers are radical. They're going to completely eliminate abortion. We're going to go back to the Handmaid's Tale. It's going to be a form of sexual slavery, so on and so forth. Radical messaging from the left, and they have been largely, Jenna, successful. You look at states like Kentucky, very conservative state. You look at Ohio, they have won on these ballot initiatives, and so now they're trying to penetrate even more deeply into red states to see if they can sort of make this permanent. So absolutely, we must push back. I do think it's going to take the effort of the pulpit, not just the pews in America. I think pastors have to be wise to what's going on and have to speak up. And now is the time.
Amen to that. And if you, no matter what state you're in, whether this is Florida or anywhere else, if you are in a church that is not actively addressing abortion, and it doesn't have to be every Sunday, but actively addressing the fact that this is a nationwide, huge, critical issue, then you might want to get into a better church. Because politics from the pulpit are necessary, because as we live our Christian lives, we will necessarily be part of our civil government and our community beyond the walls and the doors of the church, beyond the walls of our homes and the government of the family. And so we need to necessarily take our Christian life and our Christian influence into civil society, and pastors need to be teaching how we do that according to the Bible. And we need to do that well. And I think that that's a good segue, Ryan Helfenbein, into what is not being done well. And this is just, in my view, complete blasphemy, because this this group that is called Evangelicals for Harris says in their bio, faithful, compassionate evangelicals exercising our God-given citizenship by voting for someone who better reflects Christian values. And this account, and I've actually engaged with them a number of times. I actually offered to be on one of their calls because we were discussing policy and, you know, whether or not Harris's policy actually reflected biblical values and principles. And I said, well, anytime, you know, let me know if you want to have a discussion about scripture, and didn't hear back from them, which was a little bit interesting because they claim to want to discuss because, you know, they know what scripture says. So we'll see if they ever extend that invitation. But Ryan, it's absolutely appalling that anyone who calls themselves an evangelical or, you know, or a Protestant or a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, could say that Kamala Harris and her policy for being pro-abortion, state-funded abortion on demand, I mean, not to mention all of these other things like communism and redistribution of property and, you know, the way that she wants to tax everything. I mean, so many other topics, but just taking abortion as the one critical issue and the fundamental right that we have, there is no way that anyone can argue that she better reflects Christian values than even a watered down GOP.
Yeah, I 100% agree. This is a part of a Saul Alinsky tactic, going back to Rules for Radicals. The idea is to pick a target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. And that target actually is her opponent, Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with policies. In fact, what it is try to, appropriate, to use the leftist terminology of cultural appropriation, to appropriate Christianity, to appropriate the Bible and take out passages of scripture in order to pick their target, freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. So the Evangelicals for Harris is part of that move to hijack scripture and to use it, not to talk about the policies. Those are substantive issues. What you're talking about is a candidate that is the most radical person in American history on abortion alone. I mean, there's other things. We can talk about socialism. We can talk about the transgender debate. We can talk about parental rights and freedom and medical freedom and all of that. Kamala Harris stands opposed in almost in every category, not almost. There is no mitigation of this. In every category, she has a radical position. But the idea, again, is to make the target Donald Trump and not the actual policies. So this is about making the enemy, and in which case the left is using Christianity, to make Christians live up to their own standards. So we'll take some passages out of scripture, we'll voice them up on a meme, and then we will direct them specifically towards the person, Donald Trump, rather than talking about the substantive issues and the things that actually matter in this political debate. Meanwhile, Jenna, Vice President Harris is giving no interviews. She is being shielded from the media right now, doesn't want to actually go on the record to talk about any of these things, just smile and give a friendly laugh and a wave for the cameras. That's about it. So we should be absolutely alarmed by this. I think it's something where we need to be outspoken, unabashed, unashamed, on the issue of life in particular. And even, I would just say this, even if you have feckless Republicans who won't stand upright completely on the issue of life, we as Christians, as evangelicals who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, and claim Christ as Lord, we absolutely need to stand up.
Yeah, so well said. And this, it reminds me, this tactic that you're describing, this kind of Saul Alinsky tactic of going after the person of Donald Trump, and then for the people who don't actually believe in God, trying to force the true Christians to live up to a standard that they are requiring of us, that they say, well, you know, the God that we don't even believe in requires you to do X, so why aren't you? And this reminds me of the debate that so many people bring about whether the founding fathers, for example, were these, you know, wonderfully pious Christians, and everything that they did in their lives lived up to the standards of the Bible. And, well, you know, our founders were slaveholders, so how can you possibly say that this is a Christian nation? Rather than arguing on the merits, rather than arguing the text of the U.S. Constitution that was built upon the text of the Declaration, which says that our rights come from God, our Creator, and the sole purpose of government is to preserve and protect those rights. They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about the beliefs and the personal lives of the founders. And it's all, this is why on this show we're talking about worldview. Because to me, I mean, yes, are there a lot of things we could talk about Kamala Harris and Donald Trump and their personalities? Sure, but none of that actually matters in terms of the policy that they implement that will affect our civil society. And as much as I would love to, you know, and I supported, by the way, Governor DeSantis in the primary, who has a life that is, in my opinion, a great reflection of coming back to sort of this traditional family morality, and that's great. Right now, this is a closed universe situation, and the policy that Donald Trump will implement is unquestionably more conservative and more aligned with Christian values than Kamala Harris would ever be. And that is ultimately what matters. But Ryan, you know, Evangelicals for Harris just released their second ad late yesterday, and they're doing exactly what you just said, because the entire ad is just cuts of things that Donald Trump said, and they're trying to go after his personality and forget that Kamala Harris, she doesn't even claim to be a Christian. And they're using blasphemously 1 John 4 and actually put this on their social media. Test the spirits to see if they are from God, for many false prophets have gone into the world, .. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. I mean, this is just beyond perversion of scriptures.
Yeah, and I would even flip back around and take that same book of 1 John right out of the New Testament and say, so are you claiming that Christ is the Son of God, that he has been risen from the dead, that he is returning, he's coming again to rule and reign over this earth, and that we must submit to his lordship, his authority, and submit to this book? Are you actually saying that? And so the answer, of course, is clearly no. They don't believe that. But they want to utilize the scriptures, just like Satan did in Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus goes into the wilderness after he was baptized by John the Baptist, and Satan contorts scripture in order to lie, in order to tempt and test Jesus Christ. So we see that there are examples of this all throughout the Bible, where people will twist, just like the father of lies will twist scripture in order and weaponize it, in order to sow deceit and dissension. So this is a tactic. Literally, it's an attack of appropriation and deception in order to demoralize the evangelical base. That's what they're trying to do. I'm reminded of, I think it was Yuri Bresmanov from back from the Cold War, the KGB defector who talked about the four stages of a communist revolution. The first stage was demoralization and destabilization, crisis and normalization. That's what they're trying to do with this LGBT movement, with abortion on demand all the way up to including and after birth. It's to normalize these things, but they first have to pick out those that resist it. And who are those people? People of faith. It's Catholics, it's evangelicals, it's Mormons, it's people of faith that are standing up to this, but they have to divide them. They have to divide evangelicals, Catholics, Mormons, and others in this country. And what better way to do it than to take their own book and use it against them? That's what the left is trying to do right now.
Yeah, really well said. And while, obviously as Protestant evangelicals ourselves, I mean, there are definitely theological ways that we differ from Catholics and Mormons and so forth. But when it comes to civil society, we partner a lot of times with them in at least driving for morality and central truths built upon scripture in civil society. I mean, just like I'm happy to partner with the feminists right now in saying, no, biological men cannot be in women's sports. You know, so you find allies that you don't agree with on everything. So, you know, so just to be clear for our audience, I mean, there are definitely ways that we differ from those that you just mentioned. But at the same time, in civil society, we find partners that at least have an objective truth and morality by which we can run a moral and upright society. And a couple of our friends, Ryan Helfenbein, wrote some really good articles that are exposing the lie of evangelicals for Harris, one of them being Daryl Harrison, who was formerly with Grace to You and Pastor John MacArthur's church. He's now with Redeemer Bible Church in Gilbert, Arizona. And if you're not following him, he's D.B. Harrison on X. You can find his piece, which is really well written. And then also Samuel Say, who is another writer and just really well done piece. You can find his at slowtowrite.com. And he starts out by saying this: the Evangelicals for Harris campaign is a contradiction in terms. Evangelicals for Harris is as absurd as Jews for Pharaoh, Christians for Emperor Nero, or evangelicals for Satan. I mean, and that was basically what I said last week with saying, you know, this is like vegans for hamburgers. I mean, it just doesn't make sense when you take what should be a faithful Christian as an evangelical and say that somehow a faithful Christian can also support Kamala Harris and everything that she stands for. And so for, you know, for those who are maybe pushing back a little bit and saying, and I don't think this is necessarily anyone in our general AFR audience, but, you know, we sometimes get the haters or the you know, the mildly maybe conservative curious that that come on to, and listen to the show, and they're thinking, well, you know, at least Kamala Harris is not, you know, whatever they want to say about Donald Trump, or at least she's consistent with her values. And, you know, we're going to get back to this joyful campaign. I mean, that's how they're trying to sell her, as the joy ticket. And look at how much, you know, we're removing all the drama that was from Trump. I mean, there is no biblically sound way to argue that a Christian can support the policy that Kamala Harris stands for.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. That's the real substantive matter. When you think about it, as you know, Jenna, when a president takes office, he brings out and brings in something like 10,000 appointees. And so you think about each standing behind each candidate is something like 10,000 policymakers, and those who will actually, personnel is what matters more than anything, those who will bring to D.C., their principles, their ideals, their ideology. So do you want that to be an ideology that wants to trans children, that wants to take parental rights and freedoms away, that wants to have abortion up to and including and after birth, you know, that promotes socialism policies that ultimately will destroy this economy, that will destabilize American power, both domestically and abroad, that will give more power to a rising China and to all the enemies in the United States? Do you want that, or do you want the opposite of that? Do you want more freedom? Do you want parental rights to be promoted, the dignity of work, all of that stuff? That's what's really on the ballot. And the more you dig into the substance, the more clear that choice actually becomes to an honest voter. So we really do have our work cut out in terms of messaging and in terms of getting the truth out there. I think that's why your work is so important at AFR. And those for those who are listening, I just want to encourage people to press into the Word of God in these strange and difficult times. And it is a really wild time to be alive. But God is powerful. He's in control. He's the author of human history. He's the one who turns the pages. And he's the one who gets the last say in all of this. So we just need to trust him right now and be faithful in this moment. There are no cosmic accidents. We were born for these times for a purpose. And so that's why I'm so excited. That's why I'm excited to be on with you.
Well, thanks so much, Ryan. And I always appreciate having you, because that is such the most appropriate encouragement, is that we need to daily be in the Word. We need to be learning who God is. And when we say voting for truth, voting for the principles that are derived directly from God himself. And if we don't know that, if we don't know who the person of truth is, we just have this kind of, well, I love Jesus, but we're not sure exactly who Jesus reveals himself to be in the scriptures, then we won't know that objective standard, and we won't be able to compare and contrast truth versus falsity in all of these ways. I mean, maybe yes on abortion, because that's really, really clear, but some of these other things. We need to have an answer for the hope that lies within us, not just for salvation, but for the Christian life and every moment after that, including our vote. We'll be right back with more. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for an entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. And talking about the worldview difference between the left and the right, one of the big things in just speaking about the differences is having the ability to freely speak, exchange ideas without censorship or having to go along with the leftist narrative. And we saw through the Twitter files, through a lot of the lawsuits that were brought by Attorney General Andrew Bailey out of Missouri that are still ongoing, just how deep and how corrupt all of this is from the left, that is really just ultimately communist in nature. And they're continuing to push this. But one of the best advocates currently for free speech that is fighting against this is Elon Musk. And I think, you know, without him taking over of X, which was formerly known as Twitter, we would not have a major public forum digitally that is actually providing the ability to freely exchange ideas. And there's a whole, you know, host of things that is problematic with anybody having the ability to express themselves on a platform. We're seeing that with a lot of the anti-Semitic rhetoric that is on social media. But while that's vile and we can condemn it, censorship of views that we find even abhorrent isn't the answer, because then government, of course, could censor us and the views that are biblical that they find, you know, even to just be inconvenient, right? So let's talk about GARM and the quote-unquote Global Alliance for Responsible Media that was attempting to put all of these so-called safeguards on X. And they actually announced back around August 9th or so a couple weeks ago, that GARM is going to shut down following Elon Musk's X antitrust lawsuit that was filed in coordination with Rumble Media. This is just a remarkable win against censorship. So joining me now is Christian Losfall, who is the social media manager for the Heritage Foundation and knows a lot about this. So Christian, kind of give us the history of where we were with GARM and now why this is actually amazing that it's disbanded.
Well, good morning, Jenna. Thanks for having me on. And I would start by saying that if your viewers have been with you for at least a year, they would have actually had some insight about this, because the last time I was on your show to talk about this was to let your viewers know that X had made this questionable partnership with the Global Alliance for quote unquote responsible media to determine how revenue would be distributed for its creators on their platform. And we raised the red flag on your show saying that this was an alliance of mega left-wing companies backed by organizations like the World Economic Forum intended to censor traditional mainstream conservative speech. And wouldn't you know it, fast forward a year later, it looks like X figured out they were getting played, and companies like Rumble learned the same thing, and they came together to say, we're going to sue this company because, shocker, they were coordinating with the billions of dollars in ad revenue that they control to suppress that revenue from going to free speech platforms like X and like Rumble. But the caution flag that I would throw up one year later now is not to celebrate too early that them shutting down is a victory. There are about six partner agencies or affiliate agencies that rest under GARM, and four out of those six have received billions of dollars in federal funding from our government in different earmark spendings for different bills that have been passed through. So they are still tied to the left-wing government that we currently live under in this country. So even though it may not all, the censorship may not all exist under GARM anymore, technically, there are still subsidiaries that will continue to carry out their mission. So all that to say, every one of your viewers still needs to be on the watch for this happening and still support companies like X and companies like Rumble in their fight against these institutions, these multi-billion dollar institutions backed by our federal government that are trying to make sure we can't hear the truth on these different platforms. That's generally where we sit today.
And that's really well said. I mean, while this was a major win against Gorham, the fight is far from over. And so what, if anything, is Capitol Hill contemplating in terms of ensuring that this kind of censorship, like what we saw come out in the Twitter files and during the whole, you know, COVID narrative, that type of thing isn't happening or doesn't happen again?
The best that we have right now is the oversight that the House committees have been doing, House Judiciary, House Oversight. They were the ones that kind of let the cat out of the bag, even though, again, your viewers, your show, they would have known about it a year ago before Congress was ever even looking into this, when, in credit to the Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro in particular, they broke the story about this, that GARM was this mega conglomerate, billions of dollars in funding, as a monolith trying to censor right-wing views everywhere, on television, on social media, anywhere that advertising dollars were spent. These organizations, under different names, because again, they have subsidiaries, were trying to censor right-wing points of view. So thankfully, the House was made aware of this, and their investigation and their report that they published is what ultimately prompted X and Rumble to file this lawsuit, because they were able to demonstrate that they were actually coordinating against right-wing companies in particular. And there's even emails and screenshots of those emails of leadership in the company basically outright saying that, and those will no doubt be part of the lawsuit. Unfortunately, in terms of what's being done to stop it, not enough. The last time that a continuing resolution came up in the House, Republicans fully funded the government, and included in all that funding is the federal contracts that some of GARM's subsidiaries have that receive those federal dollars. So the operation is unfortunately still well-funded, which, to kind of piggyback off your previous segment with Ryan Helfenbein, who I used to work for, he's entirely correct in what you two are talking about, that how we vote and what we do and where we put our money and what worldview we choose to advance matters tremendously. Because even with a Republican majority in the House, a majority that you think would support more of our values, they still fully funded all of the dollars that go towards this GARM censorship operation. So what's happening now is good, that the private companies are stepping up again to try and fight this fight. But behind them and working against them is the government, which gets to enforce its rules at the end of a gun, behind a prison cell, or by removing dollars from your bank account. So this fight is still very much important and ongoing.
And we need to ensure, Christian Losfeld, that we remain vigilant here in America, because we're seeing other countries that are imposing censorship even on social media. Like just 2 days ago, the Global Government Affairs for X posted that that Brazil and its president threatened our legal representative, our meaning X's, in Brazil with arrest if X did not comply with his censorship orders. He did so in a secret order, which we share here, to expose his actions. Despite the numerous appeals to the Brazilian Supreme Court not being heard, the Brazilian public not being informed about the orders, and our Brazilian staff having no responsibility or control over whether content is blocked on our platform, still, the Brazilian government chose to threaten X's staff rather than respect the law or due process. I mean, this is just a wild story, and is something that, you know, if we aren't careful, America could easily go that type of direction under, let's say, a Harris administration that just issues an executive order before our Supreme Court has an opportunity to step in.
Absolutely. And I would encourage your viewers to think about what happened during, or your listeners, excuse me, to think about what happened during COVID, where the White House, we now know without a shadow of a doubt, thanks to the Twitter files, they were directly coordinating with social media companies to censor specific speech. Why? Because we have a constitution that is supposed to limit their ability to do that. So what did they do instead? They worked by proxy to talk to the companies directly, and one, from ideological capture, because the leaders of a lot of these big tech companies already agree with censoring right-wing speech, but second, with threat of with a government threat, funding cuts that they might receive directly or indirectly through, like GARM has subsidiaries who receive federal dollars. You threaten that money, and the Democrats will surely act on that. They'll follow through, wrong though their motives and goals may be. They will follow through, and so you coerce them, quote unquote, privately, to censor specific speech. The same thing is happening with foreign governments. It's not that big of a leap to imagine that our federal government would be talking to other countries' governments who aren't bound by the same laws that we are here to do the censorship on our behalf. So it really is a shame that the United States isn't instead standing as a bulwark defending guys like Elon Musk and saying, this is an American company, you cannot threaten them as a foreign government, and sticking up for our citizens. Instead, they're more than happy to, if not coordinating directly, look the other way and let them do it.
Yeah, and this is why, again, worldview matters, because if you have an administration and a government that thinks that it can impose its censorship and its preferred narrative onto the people instead of preserving and protecting the right that comes from God, which is the ability to speak freely and freely exchange ideas. I mean, our first freedoms are freedom of speech, freedom of association, and free exercise of religion, so that we can do what we're doing right here, Christian, which is to speak together about truth. That has to be fundamental as an ideological standpoint and viewpoint of any government that is legitimate. And so we have to remain vigilant. I so appreciate all of the work that you do at Heritage Christian Lostfall. And we're already out of time, but we're going to continue to talk about these things and the worldview differences between the Marxist radical leftists and those on the right that still want to conserve the values that aren't just traditional, but are ultimately founded in truth that only comes from the person of God himself. You can always reach me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.